But first up, and it's a little unusual to have Judith Collins as our first guest on Pāke Waha. I talk with Judith quite regularly on our Auckland-based show. Judith, just so you know, we're going through a lot of our iwi stations dotted up and down the country and our Access Community radio stations today. I just want to acknowledge your skin in the game politically, Judith Collins, before we chat today, and a warm welcome to you on Pāke Waha. Tēnā koe.
Dale, very happy to be joining you this morning.
A lot of our listeners might not hear from you much, Judith Collins, because they, you know, I don't know how many Māori radio stations you talk on, but we find it very necessary to get differing perspectives. You know, you can disagree with someone's politics, but you've got to give them airing, and that way you can find some balance in the way you think about things. So it's with that backdrop that I welcome you warmly. And our Irirangi as well. Judith has been in politics now for how long?
Oh, 19 years.
Okay.
19 years.
What is it that you like? It looks like, at times, a sort of setting for turmoil and angst, but, you know, those who like it for different reasons, and many give many years of their lives to the political scene. What keeps you enthused by your work?
Well, thank you, Dale. It's a really, really nice question. And it's one that I find in politics is, why do I continue to do this? Why do I continue to take myself away from my family and to put up with all the things that you put up with? Well, it's actually because, Dale, we have opportunities in politics to bring about changes. We certainly have opportunities to bring about service, really, to have service to our community. And I find this something that is true for almost everybody I see in politics. Not absolutely everybody, but even if we don't agree, and we often don't agree on, you know, across the spectrum of politics, there's very few politicians I'd look at and say they're just there for themselves. Almost all that I know are there because they believe they make a difference and that they represent people. And they represent different views.
All want to be Prime Minister?
Oh, I don't know that all do. I think there's that old saying that every day an MP wakes up in the morning and looks at the future Prime Minister when they look in the mirror. But I think it might be, it's not quite as much as that, but I do think that people are representing communities, either electorates or particular interest groups or people themselves, and, you know, particular, various interests that people have. It is very important that we have a representative parliament full of people who feel that they are and really are trying their best to represent and to stand up for the things they believe in.
You seem to take an interest in the Māori vote, Judith Collins. And at times, I guess, and this is perhaps a generalisation, but many would have thought the National weren't so interested in Taha Māori issues and the like, but they've also, I think, deserve our peeps to be reminded too that at times when there have been national governments, some pretty solid Māori initiatives have been put in place. So perhaps there's a perception that Labor's for the working class, Nats are for the employers, and that Māori tend not to be drawn into voting blue. But you might see that differently.
Well, if we just did things in government, certainly the National Party, if we just did things thinking that it was all about votes, then we wouldn't have done many of the initiatives and brought them through that we did, particularly for Māori. So when I look at the treaty settlements, enormous increase in treaty settlements under our watch, almost faded away at the moment, unfortunately. Faded away beforehand under Labor, faded away now under Labor. Enormous strides taken. The work of Whānau Ora, which was a Māori Party initiative, which we took up and which we absolutely support, that is another one which was never Labor's policy, and they certainly didn't want it. They've still got it now, but it's really, I think, because they sort of can't think of a way of getting rid of it. Then we have all sorts of things going on, whether it's around promises made but actually delivered on. And what I've seen is over the years, as the National Party has taken immense efforts and also, in some cases, possibly upset some of our own voters and supporters to do what we think is the right thing for the country. But I don't think we've ever had much recompense in terms of voting, though. But what we do have is we have some respect, I think, for our ability to deliver on what we think are the right things for the country.
Well, you've got some Māori soldiers in there with you, and I note that you've made Shane Reti your 2IC. I talk with Shane pretty regularly. And today we're talking a little bit about the return of Harita Hepango, who you have brought back into the caucus, and now the spokesperson on Oranga Tamariki, children, whānau ora, Māori development and Māori tourism. She got sort of hauled over the coals a little for an indiscretion, if I recall, some time back. But she's back in the mix. What do you see in her, and why have you elevated her to these important roles?
Well, there's loads of reasons too. Harita was brought back into the caucus because she was the next on the list and because Nick Smith retired from Parliament. So she is someone who I think has enormous value and experience, which is a big contributor to why she's got those portfolios. So she has, and many people don't realise this, because you'll realise that she's been subject to quite some nasty bullying through media and elsewhere, mainstream media against her. She is someone who had 30 years experience as a lawyer working primarily in the youth justice system and in the family court systems. So you're talking about someone who brings immense experience. And so why wouldn't we have her in Oranga Tamariki children? I mean, you've got children, Oranga Tamariki, but basically it's very similar. It's the same sort of portfolio. We've called it both so people can realise it's, you know, two parts to it. And the other thing is the Māori development. She has quite a strong interest in that, and she held previously in the Māori tourism portfolio. So it's a natural extension to extend that out to the Māori development. And it just would be immensely wrong to have someone with that sort of capability and experience not being given portfolios that are suitable for them.
You don't come across as somebody easily bullied yourself, Judith, but while you're talking about that, you know, the media can get onto things, latch onto things, and paint pretty unsavoury pictures. And as a result, people's jobs can be in jeopardy, as we've seen before. How would you describe the climate or the scene as far as wahine in the big house? And is there a culture of bullying, even if it's not meant that way, but it can surface? I mean, this is Aotearoa New Zealand, as we know. What would you say of the environment wahine find themselves in Parliament?
Well, any centre-right woman in Parliament, I think, gets an entirely different media treatment than the centre-left or left members of Parliament. So that's just understand that that's what happens, and we understand that. So the sexism that exists is about women having to be, I don't know, doe-eyed and sort of saying, gosh, you clever man, you, to be able to be respected. And that is unless you're on the left. So we don't really have women really like that in the National Party, because our women, we don't have a quota system. The women that come into the party, as with Māori and anybody else, every male, white, you know, Pākehā male, you're not there because of a quota system. You're there because you've been able to convince people that you should be there. Now, I just think there's no point worrying about it. The fact is, that's the way it is. We do our best, we don't give in to it, and we keep going. And, you know, it's like anything. You either give in to bullying and behaviour that is sexist, racist, or anything else, or else you stand up for yourself. And so, you know, you won't see me agreeing with everything that's said from Māori. You see me stand up for myself and for other women all the way through. I'll continue to do so. That just means that you won't always find me agreeing. And I know that Harita is like that. She won't always agree. And some people are going to find that confronting. Well, too bad. You know, we can respect each other. even if we have different views. And as right as you said at the very start this morning, we don't have to agree with each other to at least be respectful.
Jonah, sometimes you know, you can lead without raising your voice, and that seemed to be the way of our old people. Doe-eyed wahine, gee, you clever man. That's an interesting line you've used there, and but you've been known to use some from time to time. And if the armed response vehicles are intimidating people because they're black, said Judith when I spoke to her a month or so back, she said, paint them pink. You're wanting everyone else to come to Parliament. You're pariah number one in the political world, Ms. Collins, because you want to go back into the House when medical advice suggests that maybe you shouldn't. What's your thinking here?
Well, what a load of rubbish, eh? What a load of rubbish. The Prime Minister every day at 1 o'clock stands up in a press gallery, all sitting there about two seats away from each other, and does an in-person press conference sermon from the pulpit, basically. And then we ask for Parliament to sit, and suddenly we're the bad people for saying that Parliament should sit. We're only having three members of Parliament for the National Party allowed into the debating chamber by Trevor Mallard. Three. We would normally have 33, so we've got three. Labour Party allowed five, ACT Party one, and the Green Party one. The Māori Party's not turning up. Okay, so when you talk about the Zoom Parliament, oh yeah, run by Trevor Mallard, seriously? This has never been tried before by Trevor running it. We already don't get a fair go anyway in Parliament. So how about we just have the Epidemic Response Committee run by me? Why can't we have that? Why isn't that not? Why? Because the government doesn't want to answer the questions. And so if they think they're going to push everybody around and say, you can't come in, so we're going to have 12 people in a debating chamber, that's including Trevor Mallard and the clerk, 12 people, 12 people at a place that normally takes 122 with the clerk and the staff, and we're going to, and that's apparently bad. You know, we're not stupid. We understand what's going on. The government doesn't want to answer the questions about why they've failed so miserably to protect this country.
Fire off your criticisms right now, because, you know, we're all being asked to, you know, be good guys and be a team of 5 million, but questions do need to be raised. And this is politics. You don't get too many chances to raise them. What would you have done differently under the circumstances? Have I lost you there, Judith? I'm not quite sure what happened there. Tenakwit.
Oops, I can hear you. I can hear you.
And you're back now. Yeah, you're back now.
I don't know what that was, yeah.
Okay.
So what
was obviously Mallard's got control of the phone lines.
Oh, God, nothing would surprise me with that man. Anything to protect the Prime Minister. It's very clear to us that this is just a complete smokescreen by the government. You know, the media, you see the mainstream media in the press gallery in those press conferences at 1 o'clock, Dale. Tell me they're asking tough questions. Oh, really? Seriously? It's almost like, and how are you feeling today, Prime Minister? Well, how about thinking about where's those vaccinations and why weren't they done earlier? Why isn't the saliva testing in place for people? Why can't people buy the saliva testing themselves in the pharmacy? Why can't we do those things like other countries do? And the answer is, it's all about power and control. And the government does not want to be questioned. We will continue to question. This doesn't necessarily make us popular, but it is the right thing to do.
Well, it's been interesting chatting with you. When will you know if this call to meet again physically in the parliamentary environs, with that tunnel from you, and I think Seymour's party as well, joining the Nats in this. What chance of this becoming a reality? Can you force the hand?
Well, they've now agreed to it because the Prime Minister doesn't want to doesn't want to have the Epidemic Response Committee, doesn't want to have that sort of scrutiny. So instead, we're allowed to have a form of parliament starting tomorrow, but only three people from the National Party allowed to be there, one from ACT, one from the Greens, five from Labour. So we are physically distanced with masks on and all this sort of thing. So, you know, there's no risk whatsoever and no staff. So we're not even having our staff come in. This is the sort of level that we're going to. And I'm double vaccinated. I just feel that Trevor Mallard and Jacinda Ardern do not want that government being questioned. Otherwise, they'd bring back the Zoom Epidemic Response Committee, and that's why they don't want it.
Will you be one of the three?
Yes, I will be one of the three.
And should we consider MPs essential workers?
Well, MPs are essential workers under the regulations, very clearly. Absolutely are essential workers. It's called democracy, and it's actually recognised in the health orders. Absolutely able to travel, absolutely essential workers. It's democracy. Just like police are, just like supermarket people are, just like all of that. You know, you've got your job to do and you've got to do it. Just like media are essential to a democracy.
Got it. Well, I don't tend to think of myself as essential, but, you know, if that's the classification, I suppose I'll ride with it. I do come to work and sit behind a microphone, so maybe that is important. All the best to you, Judith Collins. Thanks for opening up our program today.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye now.
See you. Judith Collins. Hoha is at the rules that currently sort of curtailing the meeting of politicians. A lot of MPs don't want to be anywhere near the place, to be honest, and I can sort of understand that under the circumstances. With six